There's a lot of things in this old world that just do not make sense. Like why there's so few believers on the firing line, while so many others sit the fence. But if you want to know where the Word of God stands, and believe it wants to use your feet and hands, it's time to take your faith out of the seats and into the streets, and come along with me. If you'll only look, then you will see on WCN TV.
Welcome to today's WCN TV program. It's Tuesday, March 12th, 2024. I see we have most of our regulars in on the studio audience. For those of you who are just watching on the WCNTV.net platform but aren't part of the studio audience, if you click on that red button that says join the studio audience, you can actually participate, ask questions and things like that when we get to that point. So go ahead and do that if you would like. Otherwise, you can just watch. After the program, please share it. Helps us out a lot. Before we get things rolling today, we're getting kind of excited about our upcoming ministry conference. So for those who don't know about it yet, let's watch a quick video. I think Jonathan has that queued up. Let's take a look. 2 minutes.
Generally speaking, unruly.
Inflation continues to come down.
And this revolution will come at a breathtaking speed. It will be like a tsunami.
Respect for our laws has been eroded by aggressors who come in battalions to hold us hostage in our own land.
Islamic terrorists have acted just like wild animals going after their prey.
The God of peace will soon crush Satan under your feet.
We have to commit that the Bible is the only answer for humanity.
The ecclesia, the called out ones, we have got to grow a backbone.
The highest sex traffic event in the nation is the Super Bowl.
We're in the most intense war in the history of humanity. It's happening right now.
The Wisconsin Christian News Ministry Conference, April 12th and 13th. Come worship with MPK Christian Celtic Band and national recording artist Leighton Howerton.
So let our living nature sing. Let our heaven and nature.
The conference will be held at the Stony Creek Hotel and Conference Center, 1100 Imperial Avenue, Rothschild, Wisconsin. Purchase your tickets today at CoachDaveLive.com/events. That's CoachDaveLive.com/events. You can also call 715-486-8066 for more information. See you at the conference. God bless you.
All righty, so that is April 12 and 13, and I hope you will plan now to join us. Make the commitment. Get your tickets. You go to CoachDaveLive.com/events and scroll down there. I think we're number two on his list. I know it's a commitment. I know it's time traveling and time away, but it is such a blessing to be there, and the fellowship is incredible. So CoachDaveLive.com/events, and lock your tickets in, save your seat. If you need help, you're not using the internet, call me, 715-486-8066, and I'll be happy to help you. All right, so let's jump into the program for today. My guest is Pastor Matt Truella. He's the pastor of Mercy Seat Christian Church in Milwaukee, and he and his wife, Clara, are blessed with 11 children and 35 grandchildren. I'm jealous, Matt. He's also the founder of Missionaries to the Preborn and DefyTyrants.com, and also the author of Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. Matt has been on the front lines interposing for the preborn for 3 decades. I first met him about 25 years ago, and I think, Jonathan, do we have that picture? Did you get that picture? I'd like to show the folks what Matt looked like 25 years ago. Wisconsin Christian News was brand new, and Matt and the missionaries were out working on the streets, and there he is. And so I went to do an interview, and I don't think you were real sure about me because I was with the press, and
so, right.
But you did a good interview. So I think you were in our second edition ever of the newspaper, and now we're 25 years old. Anyway, Matt, welcome to the program. I think we're both a little bit older and hopefully a little wiser since those days.
Right. I was wondering what I looked like myself 25 years ago. So that's
very cool. Well, there you go. Yeah.
Yeah, we just became great grandparents, by the way.
Oh, so, wow.
We've entered that realm. We have 35 grandkids. Now we have a great grandchild, as one of our grandchildren got married and is now with child. So we're giving thanks to God for that.
You are so blessed. We have 3, but my youngest daughter and her husband are determined to have a huge family. So we're rooting for them. So. They just had their first child. He just turned a year old in November. So,
congratulations!
Yeah. So, all right. So, why don't we start off? We've got a lot to cover today, folks. I hope we get to it all. We've talked about this before, but Matt is kind of the expert on this. He's tuned in. He's got the latest information on the street ministers who are now facing federal prison time and trials in 3 different states. So, Matt, if you could bring us up to date on that.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, there's 23 Christians facing anywhere from 2 years to over 30 years in federal prison for simply interposing on behalf of their preborn neighbor at the doors of the death camps in D.C., in Tennessee, and in Michigan. Those who were arrested in D.C. and tried were tried last August, and they've been in jail since they were found guilty. The federal judge there, she is quite a piece of work and just hates Christ, Christianity, and Christians. They don't even get sentenced until May of this year, even though they were found guilty last August 29th.
And all of them were found guilty?
All of them were found guilty. Yes, there were 8 of them, and they were all found guilty by the judge.
What are some of the names? Now, this is the D.C. case, right?
This is the D.C. case. The one name I know most of all was Jonathan Darnell, and the second name is Heather Idoni. Heather Idoni has been incarcerated, and she was also tried in Nashville in January, and also she will be on trial in Detroit also. Jonathan Darnell was arrested in D.C. for interposing on behalf of his preborn neighbor. That was the only place. So he's been held there since last August and won't be sentenced until May. So they were the first group to get attacked. Just so your listeners understand, Rob, after the Dobbs opinion was issued, the Biden administration, particularly their DOJ, Department of Justice, should really be called Department of Injustice, immediately decided to go after Christians who 1 year, 1.5 years, and 2 years earlier had interposed at these abortion clinics. And so they brought these charges way, way after the fact.
And yeah, it's basically retribution, isn't it?
It really is retribution. And, you know, the people, the second group that was tried was in Nashville, and there were 8 of them there that were tried on for felony charges in January, all found guilty. They will be sentenced on July 3rd. They'll be sentenced this coming July 3rd. And there's 4 more of them from that same rescue who received misdemeanor charges. And their trial begins April 2nd in federal court down there in Nashville. Meanwhile, there's another group of 8 people who were arrested in Detroit, and they've already all been arraigned at the federal courthouse in Detroit, and their trial is set to begin on April 11th. And so they'll be tried on April 11th, unless it gets delayed. The way the federal court system works is there can be 1 delay on a federal case for no reason at all, and that often happens, though not always. And so they may not actually have their trial on April 11th, but it may go forward then. There's also a rescue that was done in Florida, and there's 5 individuals down there who are being sued by the Department of Justice for interposing at the door of the death camp on behalf of their preborn neighbor under the FACE Act also. It's the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrances Act. All of them have been charged with that. And there's also another law, which I forget the name of it right now, that was passed while Obama was in power. And that adds 10 years onto some of the charges that these different Christian brothers and sisters are facing for simply, peacefully, prayerfully, nonviolently interposing for their preborn neighbor, placing themselves in between the abortionist and the child that, you know, he or she wants to slaughter. So that's kind of an update on where we're at. If people want to learn a little bit more about it, there's 2 websites they can go to. One is Free Heather Adoni, freeheatheradoni.com. And Heather is H-E-A-T-H-E-R. Adoni is I-D-O-N-I, I-D-O-N-I.com, freeheatheradoni.com. And the other place to pick up information is Stifled Cry, stifledcry.com, S-T-I-F. There, you got it right there. Yep, stifledcry.com. And you can get more information at those 2 websites.
So what were their crimes?
Yeah, their crime is no crime at all.
I mean, some of them are looking at 30 years in federal prison.
Yes.
What did they actually do?
What they actually did was they put their bodies in at the doorway of the death camp itself so that the baby could not be taken into the abortionist and butchered. Mm-hmm. That's what they did. There's video footage at Stifled Cry, I think so, also at freeheatheradoni.com, where they can actually see what the people did. And I know that at Stifled Cry, there's also a segment that Tucker Carlson did on these people, on these brothers and sisters. And he has footage in there if people want to see exactly what they were doing. It's very peaceful, prayerful. It's meant to interpose. Interposition is where you stand in the gap between the oppressor and his intended victim, and they place their bodies literally in between the preborn child and the butcher who wanted to rip them apart.
And for that,
they were charged. So they're charged with the Freedom of Access to Clinic Entrance Act, a conspiracy enhancer, but on top of that, which I believe adds an extra 5 years, then that law that was passed under Obama, which is really a spurious thing. You know, in the same law, it criminalizes child trafficking while it declares sacred the right for a woman to butcher their own son or daughter. And you're looking at 10 years if you try to hinder that. So murder's okay. Child trafficking isn't okay under the same statute, under the same federal statute. Yeah. Very evil. So yeah, that's what they've been charged with.
So, and you and I talked on the phone the other day. You told me that one of the most, probably the darkest and most demonic abortion center I've been to in Milwaukee is open again.
Yeah, that's Affiliated. Affiliated was closed down after the Dobbs opinion came out, as was Planned Parenthood. Every death camp in our state closed down in June of 2022 when the Dobbs opinion came out. And lo and behold, Planned Parenthood began to murder the preborn, both in Madison and in Milwaukee last September, just openly flouting, you know, our state statute 940.04, which declares that abortion is the killing of a preborn child. It's under our homicide statutes. And unfortunately, not one magistrate who was in a position to do anything stepped in and said, no, of course not our governor, of course not our attorney general, wicked men. And but neither any sheriff, neither any police chief in Madison or Milwaukee, none whatsoever stepped in to say, this is wrong. If you start murdering preborn babies, it's against our state statute. We will arrest you. In fact, we contacted the authorities here in Milwaukee back in September of 2023, when they started murdering the preborn again. And to report that they were, and they, the police came out and they said, we'll arrest you. You cause any problems, we'll arrest you. It's fine what they're doing. And that one officer confided in us and said that at the morning briefing, they were told that if any policeman would not arrest the pro-lifers and thought that they were going to actually arrest anyone at Planned Parenthood for violating 940.04, their career would immediately be extinguished by the police department in Milwaukee. So that's evil magistrates, just wicked men. And so Planned Parenthood. Well,
the officers themselves are not blameless either. They, you know, maybe their job, that certainly doesn't make it right.
Yeah, no, actually their duty is to uphold our state statute and make the arrest. And that's what they should have done. But they did not do it. And now Planned Parenthood also has begun to murder the preborn in Sheboygan again. And now Affiliated just started on March 5th, a week ago today, murdering the preborn again. We were down there for it to speak up for the little ones. And had quite a few members of our family out there, and other Christians were there speaking up for these little ones. But Affiliated was emboldened in particularly to reopen, because there was even pro-abortion lawyers, Rob, cautioning Planned Parenthood that what you're doing is illegal. And, you know, you can put yourself in harm's way with the authorities if you continue to do this. Well, they didn't care because they know the authorities are evil men. And so they continued. And then, unfortunately, in January of this year, the GOP brought what was known as AB 975, Robin Voss and Company, which, by the way, I hope Robin Voss gets removed. He should have been removed a long time ago as our speaker. And
yeah, I have no idea how he's even still there.
It is amazing. Very evil. And so they bring this bill, AB 975, which says, well, we want to compromise with abortion. Yeah, compromise with abortion. That's murder, by the way. It's okay if you murder preborn babies up to 14 weeks. Well, understand that's 95% of the babies murdered by abortion are murdered by then. 95%. That's their idea of compromise. And we were there, of course, to testify against it, that it's murder, that it's wrong, that it should not be tolerated, that 940.04 is still in place. None of the GOP legislature or other civil authorities did anything to demand that 940.04 be upheld. Not even a resolution was issued. But they were all there in order to tell us over and over again, 940.04 is off the books. It has no authority. They were lying right through their teeth, Rob. Fortunately, there were two assembly persons, two members of the assembly who are GOP, who actually gathered to testify against their own colleagues' efforts to legitimize the murder of the preborn here in Wisconsin. And that was Chuck Wickers and Janelle Brenchen. And they were the only two. The rest of them, yeah, it was sad. And numerous of them sitting on the committee and those supporting the bill openly named the name of Jesus Christ, and they were supporting this butchery.
Yeah, it's just a political game, isn't it?
It is. It's sick. So once the weakness was shown by the GOP regarding this slaughter, Affiliated announced the very next week that they'd be reopening, and they did a week ago today.
Before we move on to a different topic, anyone in our studio audience have any questions or comments you'd like to make? That was your opportunity.
Yeah, Rob. Excuse me. I was wondering who's representing these people legally. Thank you.
Yeah, there's different groups that are representing different people. I'm not sure at the trial in Detroit. I know that there was one lawyer that was prominent at the Nashville trial. I forget his name now, which is very embarrassing, but it happens the older you get, because he's been around forever, and he used to be the chief counsel for, the group down in Tupelo, Don Wildman's group, when they had their own legal team. Oh, man. But anyways, yeah, it's various lawyers representing different people, from what I understand. Everybody's not piled up under one group or one lawyer.
Hmm. Yeah, it's that's another situation. There are so many Christian legal organizations that should be on top of this, and they're just not. I don't know what they're doing, but
no, there's been very little media, whether conservative or Christian, on what's happened with these brothers and sisters, and I mean precious little. And unfortunately, there's the usual crowd in Christianity and in the conservative movement that, you know, don't like those people. And right now, you understand, Rob, have to understand that the GOP is telling everybody and the conservatives are telling everybody, we have to compromise on the issue of abortion. It's a losing subject. It's a losing topic. And so we have to compromise. And I tell everybody, that is the dumbest and worst thing you could possibly do. If you think you're going to be able to move things forward and see righteousness restored in the land by spitting on God's law and saying, yeah, it's okay to murder these people and those people over there within this group known as the preborn. No, that isn't how it works. Repentance is needed. Repentance is needed amongst the people of this nation. It's needed amongst the Christian church in this nation. It's needed amongst the magistrates also. And so hopefully people will realize as God's judgment continues to expand upon our nation that they need to humble themselves, put their faces low to the ground, and call out on the Lord. And repentance is massively needed right now, not compromise.
Yeah, because we are under blood guiltiness.
Yes.
And that extends way beyond just the abortion issue. As Matt said, all of the God's judgment that we're seeing in so many areas, in just about every area of our culture and society, I believe goes back to the blood guiltiness.
Yes, absolutely.
Of the killing of the preborn. So I don't even like that word preborn. They're premature babies. They're not preborn. I guess, they're both.
Yeah.
I like the word premature because they are.
Yeah, one of the things I'd like to mention too, Rob, just to point your listeners to, I wrote an article for your newspaper on the distortion of love and the proliferation of evil in America. And I've actually gotten a lot of response from that since you published that. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage people to go to your website and to check that article out, because a huge problem that we have within American Christianity is the definition of love. And it's been redefined by the world. And unfortunately, the church has embraced that same definition and have lost sight of the fact of what true biblical love looks like. And so I've heard from a lot of people who they found that article very instructive and helpful for them to, realize how big this is. Yeah, there it is right there.
Yeah. So, if you click on that, you can also just go under departments and go to commentaries, and it's there also. Or you can search under writers. Same thing, but that was a very good article. We need to get this information out. So, and we have shared that multiple times in our emails and things like that. So, well, Matt, Missionaries to the Preborn is also going to be doing a college campus tour again coming up this spring.
Yeah.
Tell us what happens on those tours.
Sure. Well, this one is going to be in Michigan. And we've coincided it with the trial beginning on April 11th in Detroit. So we're going to be in Michigan on April 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th. We usually do the campus tours Monday through Thursday because Friday the population at the university is very low. So we do those 4 days. So we'll be in Western Michigan University in Kalamazoo on Monday, April 8th. We'll be at Michigan State University in Lansing, Michigan on Tuesday, the 9th of April. And then we'll be at University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, on Wednesday. And then on Thursday, we actually plan to gather outside the courthouse at 8 a.m. there in Detroit, downtown Detroit at the federal courthouse, to pray with those who are facing trial, to worship the Lord and call upon him in prayer in regards to what's happened to the preborn and what's happening to our brothers and sisters. From there, some will go into the trial. Not everybody will be able to fit inside, and others are going to go off to the university, Wayne State University, and minister there, which is only about 10 minutes away from the courthouse in downtown Detroit, Michigan. But what we do is we go to the campus and we pass out boatloads of literature. And this is really well-done literature that both exposes the horror of abortion, the atrocity and evil of abortion, and at the same time points men to Christ and to his salvation, to his word. And then we also bring out photographs. So we'll usually one or two class breaks just pass out literature. Then we bring out large photographs like you see there, 5.5 feet tall. And pass out literature, hold the signs, and talk to people. You get in many good conversations, small groups. Sometimes huge crowds develop. We'll have 300, 400, 500 students for hours. And if you love to minister, these campus tours are a great opportunity. And I view it as massively important for us to be going to the universities. We've been doing it since the 1990s. And one of the things you find out when you go to the university is they only know one verse, and that's judge not lest you be judged. And so while they're saying that to you, judge not lest you be judged, they're judging you the whole time. They mm-hmm. have you completely stereotyped. And so as you stand there and you defend the faith and respond to their questions and persevere, and I always find it massively good to share your testimony too, because I've always found that your testimony helps them to see your humanity. Again, they have you completely judged, stereotyped as some haughty, taughty, self-righteous person. And once you share your testimony of what Christ did in your life, what you were, what Christ did in your life, how salvation came to you, they go quiet. And they realize, wow. Yeah. And I've had this happen so many times, Rob, where it's very hostile. I share my testimony. The crowd gets quiet, and I just keep it at like 8 to 10 minutes. And the demeanor of the people after that is completely changed because they saw that they misjudged you. And
that's right out of Revelation, how we overcome the enemy, right? And the word of our testimony, blood of the Lamb, and loving our own lives.
Amen.
Loving not our own lives, even unto death. So,
yeah, and one of the things I do too with the testimony is I actually got a website where I put my testimony up in writing. It's about 25 pages, and then that group that does the Unshackled, they did a segment, one of the radio dramatization.
Oh, that's right. I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah.
You were quite a naughty boy in your younger years, Matt.
I was. Yeah. I was raised in Detroit.
Yes. And you have an amazing testimony. I believe we did publish that at some point.
Yep.
But it's been a few years.
Yeah. And if people want to check it out, they can go to howjesuschangedmylife.com. howjesuschangedmylife.com. And there I have my testimony. I also have my mom's testimony, which is absolutely astounding what Christ did in her life. You know, families are just messed up. And then Christ comes in and your life's like radically transformed, and it impacts the rest of the family. That was me and my wife on our very first date.
Oh, wow.
19. She was 16. Mm-hmm. And we've been married 42 years now. So it's been a great run together. But yeah, I think it's going to the university is incredibly important. And though the first and foremost thing they're seeing about us is speaking up for the preborn, I'm telling you, Rob, you end up talking about every topic under the sun. You know, what does God think about this? What does he think about that? And we've had it so many times where after 2, 3, 4 hours of contending for the faith, talking with people, patiently contending with them, some of the biggest mockers put out their hand and say, that was the best defense of Christianity I've ever heard in my life.
Mm-hmm.
You've given me so much to think about. So I greatly encourage people to get involved in ministry at the university. I think it's massively important. So that's basically what we do. We also have men who travel with us, usually, not always, who do open-air preaching. And the men that we have, usually, almost always, do a very good job open-air preaching. And, you know, you'll get a crowd from that. And when you're near a street preacher like that, you'll end up with one-on-ones in small groups, you know, 7, 8, 12 people around you. Again, just a great time of ministry and being able to point men to Christ.
Well, in the college, you know, the college-age kids, the universities are really one of the most important demographics to reach with the truth, because they're not getting it in their $70,000 a year colleges. But I was actually with Jason and a group of others at a college campus, and Jason is Matt's son-in-law.
Yep.
And just amazed at his ability to reason with people. Hostile people come up and want to attack you, and he was able to defuse that in 3 seconds and get them thinking. And I personally witnessed lives changed through your organization. So,
amen. No, it is. The first time I went out and did open air ministry like that was back in the 1990s. And I felt like a fish out of water. And I remember the crowd was very vociferous, to use that word. And lo and behold, after it was over, you're like, wow, it was so chaotic. How could the Lord use any of that, right? I mean, I was hoping he would, because I had read about Wesley and Whitfield and men like that, where crazy stuff would happen while they were open air preaching, yet God was working in the hearts of men. So we went back. This was at UW-Madison, which, you know, is like the Berkeley of the Midwest, they call it. Very wicked. And we've been physically attacked even there on a number of occasions. And lo and behold, when we went back about a year later, we're out there speaking and stuff. And this girl comes up and asks if she can share. And I said, sure. And she tells all these students, there's got to be 300 students around us, how she was with them last year, cussing at us, saying vile things to us and all that kind of thing. And she said that that was the starting point. She shares her testimony, how from that moment to where she came to know Christ and how he's radically transformed her life. And she said, I mean, I just stood there, Rob, and I was like, that is praise be to God. It was just stunning because in the midst of all that's going on, yes, he's still working in the hearts of men and doing his work within them.
Yeah, yeah. It is an incredible blessing when you're out at one of these abortion centers and you are able to be part of saving a child's life. And I've been a part of that. And also as far as street ministry, the first time I went out with Coach Dave to a pride parade, there were 22 of us and against 500,000. And they're banging drums and blowing horns and shouting you down. And they're, you know, absolutely do not want it. You're covering up your signs and breaking your signs, stealing your signs. But somehow I was able to have a couple of words with, well, my wife and I were surrounded by two lesbians and three of their allies. And they came to attack us. And, somehow we were able to break through that. And they said, you know, you're the only nice one of the whole bunch. I said, no, we're all the same. You're just not listening. And the key in that particular encounter was letting them know that they were being lied to by their college. They were being indoctrinated and groomed in this LGBTQ plus cabal. Mm-hmm. And they didn't like the idea of being lied to. So that opened the door, and I was able to have a conversation with them. I said, can we just go over here and sit down on the grass? And we were in front of the courthouse. And so they agreed to do that reluctantly. And I was able to open the scriptures and talk to them, give a testimony. And within 25 minutes, the leader of this group had tears coming down her face. And she looked down and she said, I think I have some things to think about. And she and her whole group went home. They left the parade. So
praise the Lord. No, that's great to hear.
Yeah, and there are ways to break through that. It really depends on having a conversation and letting them know they've been lied to. They've been used as pawns and given them the truth because they are hungry for truth. So these campus tours, I applaud you for doing them and sticking in there and doing it all these years.
Thank you. And, you know, sometimes, you know, as we got older, as we've gotten older, sometimes it was looking like the geriatric ward was being unleashed upon the university, right? So, but since then, you know, we have all these young people who go on these campus tours, and they're actually leading the campus tours now, putting them together. I just attend with them because I love the ministry at the university so much. But because of all their years of being a part of what we've done, they know exactly what needs to be done. Their heart is totally into it. I always tell Christian mothers and fathers, Rob, you know, because a lot of people we know homeschool. We homeschooled all our children, but we didn't homeschool our children in order to protect them from the world. We homeschooled them because we didn't want to send them off to the world to be educated. And we didn't view that as right. We're supposed to disciple the nations, not have the nations disciple us, not have the nations disciple our children. And so we understood the importance of taking our children out there. In fact, it was my wife who impressed me that we do that, because I wasn't excited about doing that. I was like, I take a 5-year-old, an 8-year-old, a 10-year-old out on a university. But she was right about that. And what we learned with all of our sons and daughters, they all got the smell of battle in their nostrils. Christianity wasn't just this pretend thing or this hypothetical thing or theory. It was real life right in front of their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
And it just got down into the heart and soul of every one of our sons and daughters. And now we've seen it in our grandchildren. And we've seen it with so many people who attend Mercy Seat and people who don't attend Mercy Seat who get involved. And I cannot encourage Christian parents strongly enough to take their children to the death camps, to take their children to the halls of government, to take their children out to these universities and to speak and bring Christian truth and thought to the hearts and minds of men. It's massively important.
Well, it has a huge impact on the children.
Yes.
But, you know, the problem is so many of the parents are too afraid to go themselves. Mm-hmm. But I just need to tell you that in my experience, the first time you do it, yeah, you are a fish out of water and you don't, you know, you're shaking in your boots. You don't know what to do. But the minute you step out and actually do it, the fear just vanishes completely.
Absolutely. And you're exactly right.
God gives you the words to speak. He gives you the opportunities to witness to the people. And if you just do it, God takes care of the details.
Amen.
Honestly, there's nothing to be afraid of.
Yeah. You see that he's working through you.
Yeah. That's a huge blessing.
So. Amen. Absolutely.
Yeah. Anyone in our audience have any questions or comments for Matt at this point? Because we're going to switch gears again here in just a second.
I do.
Ready?
Yep.
Welcome to the program.
Yeah, thank you. I just want to just say to Matt, thank God you're not a sissy pastor. We need more like you. I tell you what, I would do anything to have you come and teach at our church. I don't even go anymore because they're so lukewarm. So thank you for fighting for those babies. I actually live in a little town about 5,000, and I go up there with signs. Mm-hmm. And even just being a one person standing there is some mean people out there. But I just smile and tell them, you know what, I know where I'm going. Where are you going? Well, they're yelling at their car, you know, so they just keep taking off. So thank you for what you do and your family and all that.
Well, thank you. Thank you, Betty, for those encouraging words. I appreciate it. And God bless your efforts there in Ohio. I pray the Lord does a great work in the hearts of men as you're out there declaring the truth of his word.
All right. So, well, many of our viewers are familiar with Matt's book, The Doctrine of the Lesser Magistrates. But for those who aren't, Matt, if you could just kind of tell us a little bit about it and explain what the doctrine is.
Sure. Yeah, I wrote this book on the doctrine of lesser magistrate. Published it in 2013. So it's been out for over 10 years now. And it sold about 150,000 copies now, which if you know anything about publishing, that's really big. It's really big. It's been translated into 5 different languages now on top of the 150,000 copies sold here in America. There's been thousands sold in Europe and on the African continent also. Thousands of copies have gone out. So God's really used the book mightily. And I think the book's done so well because of the fact that people see that this doctrine is found in the Word of God and that it's been proven down through the history of man to often reign in the tyranny of the superior authority bloodlessly. And what the doctrine simply is that when the superior civil authority makes unjust or immoral law, policy, or court opinion, the God-given right and duty of the lesser-ranking civil authority is not to obey, and if necessary, to actively resist the superior authority. So I often give a quote from Emperor Trajan, who was actually a superior authority. He was giving a sword to one of his subordinates, and he really succincted the doctrine in what he said to his subordinate as he gave him the sword, he said, use this sword against my enemies if I give righteous commands. But if I give unrighteous commands, use it against me. And that's the doctrine in a nutshell. When the superior civil authority behaves lawlessly, decrees evil through law, policy, or court opinion, the duty of the lesser authorities is not blithe compliance. Rather, their duty is what we call interposition. They're to use their lawful office to stand in the gap between the tyrant superior civil authority and the people that they want to oppress. And that's what the doctrine is. And it's a doctrine called a doctrine because it's found in the Word of God. It was first formalized as a Christian doctrine in 1550 by the churchmen of Magdeburg, Germany. And men there in Magdeburg, churchmen there in Magdeburg, Germany, showed from scripture and from history that their magistrates were right to defy the emperor, Emperor Charles V. So John Knox furthered the doctrine in his 1558 appellation to the nobles of Scotland. They were the lesser magistrates of their day. He cited over 70 passages of scripture to show that the doctrine is sound in the Word of God. I wrote this book. We go through the different tenets of what the doctrine is and give historical application time and time again, where we see the doctrine demonstrated not only in Christian nations or amongst Hebrew people, but also just pagan nations, showing that the doctrine is even natural to man. That's kind of the doctrine in a nutshell. Much more could be said, obviously.
Well, and we saw it in action in some places, few places, but some places during the COVID scamdemic, mm-hmm. As sheriffs refused to enforce tyrannical laws.
Well, yes.
Not even laws, edicts.
Yes. So. Yeah, we documented over 500 of acts of interposition during the COVID matter, almost all by county and local officials. These are sheriffs, county boards, mayors, city councils, and, standing in opposition either to their state government or to the federal government. Acts of interposition. One story I always like to tell, I'll be real quick with this, Rob, is Governor Pritzker down in Illinois in May of 2020, he decided to give his latest decree, which was no businessman can open their business now until I say you can open your business. And now if you open your business before I say you can open your business, you'll now be charged with a crime, arrested and charged with a crime. And the next day in a state of 102 counties, only one county gathered their board together. Madison County, which sits right on the Mississippi River, directly across from St. Louis, and they put out their own decree. And their decree stated, our businessmen are free to reopen now. And they stated, we will use all our authority and all our power to protect our businessmen. And then they cautioned the governor and the state not to interfere with their businessmen. Well, Governor Pritzker responded in good Pharaoh fashion and held a press conference the next day, threatening their federal money, their state money, had a whole list of bad things he was going to do to them if they didn't get with the program. In fact, he did that for the next 3 days in a row, held the press conference attacking Madison County. But the men there stood resolute. They did not flinch. And then 7 days after Governor Pritzker had made that decree, the Illinois State Police put out a press release stating, we will not arrest any businessman who opens their business before Governor Pritzker says they can. They had decided to stand with the men at Madison County. And the very next day after that, Governor Pritzker rescinded his offer. That's how important the interposition of lesser authorities is. If it had not been for the interposition of that lone county, the entire state would have remained under that draconian decree. And understand how important it is for the lesser authorities to interpose when the superior authorities are acting lawlessly or unconstitutionally or making evil through law or policy or court opinion. It's the lesser authorities are viewed by the superior tyrant authority as the means to get their evil down in the fabric of society. They count on the blithe compliance of the lesser authorities to get their evil down in the fabric of society. And when they don't have that compliance, that's when they know they have a problem on their hands. And by the way, the guy who heads up Madison County is a Christian brother who had read my book 2 years earlier and had taught it to the entire board. And they were a burr in the saddle, and even to this day, burr in the saddle to Governor Pritzker time and time again.
Amen, amen. Amen. Something similar happened, I think, in Albuquerque last year when the governor declared that there was going to be no more Second Amendment. And the local sheriff said, forget that idea.
Yes. Yeah.
And that went right out the window, too. So that was another instance of the lesser magistrates having the courage to actually do their job. So JR has a question. JR, come on in.
Thank you, brothers.
Hey.
Pleasure to be with both of you. Is Matt, is the sheriff lesser magistrate? Is the sheriff the key in this? I mean, if I'm a dog catcher, I'm a lesser magistrate, but I can't deputize anybody, but the sheriff can. And does this hinge on the sheriffs?
Yeah, it really hinges on all the lesser authorities, not just the sheriffs. The sheriff plays a major role, blunting evil, interposing against it. And the authority he possesses to interpose is superior to the authority that others possess. There's no doubt about that. But any elected or appointed official, and that's what a magistrate is, anyone who possesses public authority, whether by election or by appointment, is a magistrate. Like even when it came to or comes to the matter of homosex marriage, a county clerk has the authority, has the duty to say no. We're
Kim
not
Davis.
Licensed to two men or two women. Yes, exactly. Kim Davis stood on that. And it's extremely important for people to understand the duty of the lesser authorities. And it's incredibly important for them to educate their magistrates in their duty of interposition.
Thanks.
All right. So just moving on here before we run short on time. Matt, you've been traveling the world. You've been a hard guy to pin down. That's why it's taken me so long to get you on the show. But Rusty Thomas was on the program not too long ago, and he told us things went very well for him in Ireland. And you've had a similar experience there that I think our listeners and viewers would be interested in hearing about.
Sure. Yeah, I was in Northern Ireland last October for 2 weeks. So they ran me all around the country to teach the doctrine all over, which Northern Ireland is not a big place.
Yeah. And, who was it that brought you in?
Oh, I'm trying to remember now. Brother Wes, whatever his last name is, and William Martin was another of the brothers.
Just individuals.
It was individuals. They have their own group, too. There were, I think, two or three groups involved in bringing me in and several individuals. And if you know anything about Northern Ireland, they're part of the United Kingdom, and the United Kingdom is evil. And they've brought the evil of homosex and the evil of baby murder and now genital mutilation to the shores of Northern Ireland. And so we were able to participate while I was there in a street demonstration, which was good, on top of the speaking that I did to various groups and churches all around the country there. But countries everywhere, Rob, see the need for this doctrine. They see the goodness of it right away. The work is even being translated into German now, my book, which, of course, the Magdeburg Confession was
German.
Was German. Yes, exactly. So I'm like, wow, that's pretty cool. And it's been translated into the Czech language. It's been translated into Spanish. It's all over, like you see on the thing right there, the St. James Church massacre was just up there on the screen at our website. That's Brother Charles. And he's gotten the book out by the thousands all over the African continent. Mm-hmm. And he's a great brother in Christ. So it's having a huge impact in many nations around the world, which I give Christ thanks for.
Well, and, you know, as we move ever closer to the globalist New World Order, which is really an old world order, but I think this doctrine of the lesser magistrates is really going to be really a key component in fighting what Klaus Schwab and all the globalists have in mind.
Yeah,
it's going to come down to the sheriffs. It's going to come down to your local police chief, whether or not they're going to comply. And that really goes, hate to do a shameless plug, but it comes back to our conference where our theme is we won't back down. So, amen. You know, what we really need is courageous men with the courage to stand against the authorities. Unfortunately, so many Christians are tied into Romans 13, the incorrect interpretation of that. And so many pastors are stuck on the Johnson Amendment that they won't speak. You know, of course, the Johnson Amendment put into place because Lyndon Johnson was such a pervert himself. He didn't want the pastor speaking against him. So it was a personal thing. You can look it up. Mm-hmm. But that's how that happened. But that's where we're at. And this is our solution. So,
yeah. By the way, if your listeners are interested, the appendix in my book on Romans 13 is available at our website, defytyrants.com. Great. And feel free to get it there, to read it and to share it, you know, with their pastor, with their Christian friends, family, because you're right, Rob, that is misinterpreted, I should say, by the vast majority of Christians in America.
Yeah. So folks, we've got to get this information out. You can find what we've just been talking about at defytyrants.com. Learn about missionaries to the preborn at missionariestothepreborn.com. Mm-hmm. And Matt's church, if you're in the Milwaukee area, is mercyseat.net. And by the way, Matt, you got to update that because you have the wrong building on your picture.
Believe me. I know. Yeah, in fact, we're actually our whole church website is being completely rebuilt right now, and hopefully it'll be up within the next 30 days.
There you go. Okay. Yep. So we're down in about 2 minutes. I have to ask, what are your thoughts on the upcoming presidential election or selection, and what do you see happening in the months leading up to that, and probably more importantly, the months immediately after that?
Yeah, that's hard to say. As you know, I don't put a lot of time or effort into the presidential election or to federal politics. I'm far more interested in state, county, and local government. I put our efforts in there. So I have no idea who's going to win, whether it'll be Trump or Biden, what'll take place. A lot of people are talking about a civil war. That's been being talked about by scholars and academicians for over 15 years now that we're headed for that. And you can see the possibility of that growing increasingly because of lawlessness, because of the rebellion against the Lord. And that's why I believe it's massively important as his people that we declare the truth of his word, that we declare his law and his great salvation to men, and call this nation to repentance, that we repent ourselves within our own lives, that we call the church to repentance for its lack of engaging the culture and speaking the truth of God's word to the nation.
Will you say that again? Because that bears repeating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Judgment begins in the house of the Lord, right?
That's right. Judgment, I tell people that all the time. That is the number one thing God has in his crosshairs is us. It's his bride. It's the church of Jesus Christ. It has lost its fealty to him, which means it's lost its proper understanding to its neighbors. And therefore, because it's been playing the whore for decades now, God is going to judge it. He's going to bring down this awful form of Christianity that's been not only here in America, but throughout the West for several decades now. And at the same time, he's going to replace it with a more biblical, tougher form of Christianity. He's already doing that in many ways. So yeah, we need to keep our faces low to the ground and be utterly dependent upon him, because I think we're going to go through some really heavy duty stuff. Just knowing.
And we need to be the ones with the answers when our friends and neighbors and fellow churchgoers think all is lost.
Yes.
We need to be informed and equipped for the work of the ministry.
So. Amen. Amen.
Well, folks, we are out of time. That went quick, didn't it? So, but I will be back with you next week, same time, same place. Sharam Hadian will be my guest next week, and sure to be a good program. So we'll see you then. God bless. Bye.